Okay, so this morning, our message will be centered on community. How do you find community in the church? That's something that a lot of believers struggle with. I go to a church, nobody knows me. I go to a church, nobody greet me by name. By the way, that's why we put name tags on, so that we know how to greet you by name. We stand at the door outside when we leave. When you leave, we want to greet you. You know, we have put Purell in our hands so we can shake your hands, so that's okay. And this morning, somebody came up and said, "Pastor, I want you to help this because you shake hands with everybody. So I want to be sure that you're okay." All right. So we have no fear. But this is the idea about community. It's very hard for many people because we are social beings. We are created to interact with other people, especially in a church. How do you find community? Now, some people love to be in the church and remain anonymous. I just want to go in. I want to go out. I want to go because the sermon is so wonderful, so great. I don't want to interact with the people. Well, that's a problem. But the church is supposed to be a place where we have a sense of belonging. Belonging is really, it's not just one way, it's two way. There is those who are reaching out, and there's the receptive part. Am I willing to invest in building relationship? Relationship takes time. Community comes because of relationship. Think about the early church. What happens is that it was not an easy thing for early church people to go through. Oh, could you advance the next slide? Okay, thank you. Acts chapter 2 gives us a very good picture of the beginning of the church. How it says there in Acts chapter 2, when the believers were gathered together in one place. Now that's something. I don't know at that time how many people were there. Maybe there's 120. That's what they were referring to. And the Spirit of God came upon them. And the Spirit of God moved in them. Many of them spoke in tongues that were not known at that time by the people. But then it says that many Jews had come back from many other nations, and they heard the word of God in their language that they understood. So the people were amazed. They said, "Hey, these people are drunk. They're just babbling. They're saying things." You know, when somebody said something you don't understand, you think they're drunk, right? What's going on? But Peter stood up. They're not drunk. It is the Spirit of God has been poured out, and they're speaking. And Peter stood up and preached Jesus Christ, who was crucified, who died, who rose from the dead. And at that time, it says the Bible in chapter 2, Acts, that they were cut to their heart. What happened when they were cut to their heart? 3,000 people in one day came to Christ. 3,000 people. Now think about that. How do you build community with 3,000 people? What's this? 300. Even 30 people. How do you build community? How can a church be that community? Well, we can find here in Acts chapter 2, beginning from verse 42, it tells us how. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, there are activities that happen to create community. Last night, we had a great time. You know, we sent out the invitation to GICF Fellowship. We had 30 adults and 3 kids. We had a cultural exchange of performance of someone sang from Hong Kong, sang someone from Taiwan, gave what it means to celebrate the Chinese New Year. And someone from Myanmar, from Burma, said, hey, this is how we celebrate. And someone from Korea also shared. And we even had someone perform a dance. So there were songs. There were a building of relationship through shared activities. Now, what happens if you missed out? If you don't attend? If you just say, I only come on Sunday, and you miss out? Community is intentional. It is built on relationship. So when we look at this gathering of believers, what they were trying to do is to build community. But how do you do that? Now, churches throughout history, well, I would say more perhaps here in the United States. This has been the practice for a long time. Go to the next slide. So we start by asking a question. Go back before. Well, we do this. I want you to believe first, okay? After you believe, we talk about the gospel, you believe, then you can belong because we share the same belief and now you can belong. And then the other thing is after you belong, we say, why don't you now, your behavior is going to change, so you become. So that has been the process really in most churches. And you first you believe, then you belong, then you become. The other way, as I look at it in the way that Jesus had done things, in a way in the early church, go to the next slide, actually you belong first. Come. That's what Jesus does to Nicodemus. Hey, I'm going to go to your house, to Matthew. Come. Follow me. Okay? I want to gather you as a group who belong. And then you can believe. You see, believing takes time. Think about Peter. He followed Jesus for 3 years and he still denied Jesus. Think about Thomas, who doubted even after Christ resurrected from the dead. Now you said belief. So are you going to ask, were they believers? We may even ask, hey, is Judas followed Jesus? Well, he was in the crowd among the 12, but he didn't really believe in Jesus. So when we thought about community, I think it may be better if we start gathering people who say, you belong. We accept you as you are. And as you come into this community, by our lives, we demonstrate that what we believe can be lived out. Love can be expressed that way. And then you can see that they will change. You think about that. Joining a gym. You may have club membership, right? So what do you do when you go to the club, to the gym? Most of us, we just do our own thing. I'm here to exercise. But then if you look at the others, whether it's yoga or other exercise, when they form a team, let's all do this together, cycling together, okay? Even those on Sunday mornings, driving up to church, I can see packs of cyclists doing it together. It's more fun. You're doing it as an encouragement one to the other. And so this is what community can be. But then it's more than just acting on activities. Go to the next slide, please. Okay. So we're looking for a place that we can belong. If you can move to the next one. Yes. Oh, go back one. Okay. A place to belong, a truth to believe, and a way to become. That's what the church ought to be, in my opinion. It has to be centered on Jesus Christ to build community. It has to grow spiritually. There is a direction. This is not a social club. This is a place where we come to meet God, and you meet God by knowing Jesus Christ and His teachings. And that's why the disciples, they gathered to go together, devoted to the apostles' teaching. And we have a mission to reach the lost by loving our community. And that's why churches participate in social justice, in social work. Sometimes I think that has been lacking in many of our evangelical churches, lacking in showing compassion. We're great in believing, we're great in accepting and even proclaiming the doctrines, but lacking in action to love our community, to send out people to serve the world. But I believe that's what Gaithersburg International Christian Fellowship is all about, GICF. Why did we change from the English congregation of a Chinese church? Rebranding does nothing. Rebranding can just be a marketing tool. But when they rebrand, when what's inside changes, when our mission is focused, there would be significant impact on the community. So that's what we're looking for. Do I have a place that I can belong? Do I have something that I can hold on to, a belief, and then my behavior can change? I go to the next slide. There's a denomination called Grace Communion International. I search online for graphics. Basically, I come up with a thought and say, oh, what will fit in? And I like their pathway to discipleship. Talks about embracing the non-believer first. And then as they come to believe, we need to nurture them. What does it mean to nurture? That means you care for them. You are looking into their needs. And in time of need, will we be prepared to go to them? One of the questions that we may ask is this. If you have an emergency at 2 a.m., who will you call? And would that someone pick up the phone? That's a question. Do you have someone that you can call outside of your family members? Someone in the church? If you don't have relationships, it would be very awkward to make that call. You'd probably just say, why call me? Call 911. You get the wrong number. You know? So we are here because we can care for one another. Nurturing means helping someone to grow. And that's why we're trying to get them to grow in the knowledge of God. And beyond that is equipping. Now, the church needs workers. We need volunteers. You don't say it's up to the job of the pastor or the elders or the governing board. Everyone had a significant part in the building of this community called the church, or GICF, as we would identify locally. So we need to equip. And then we need to multiply. It's hard when the church only has one fellowship group. We need to multiply. It's hard when the church only have one small group. We need to have more. It's hard for the church to only have one group for Bible study or Sunday school. Multiplication, not only to serve ourselves, but multiplying disciples. That's what Christ commanded us. Go and make disciples of all nations. Again, it's more than rebranding. All nations means people outside from our race, from our culture, and those who speak our language or eat our type of food. So here we are trying to build community, and I believe that we can do this. following the examples of Scripture. Go to the next slide, if you will. Four activities. Chapter 2, verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. What does it mean to be devoted? You know, I've been meeting with five guys that we are trying to grow, to train each other. And I'm amazed at a couple of guys who are very devoted to their diet. So, why are you not eating? Because I'm on a diet. Why are you not doing this? Because I want to lose weight. I wish I can have that discipline as this brother does, but I am tempted and I am weak and I am not devoted as he is. Devotion invites us to be disciplined. Devotion implies us to make commitments. And that's just what happens. When you build community, you want devoted people. It's not just anybody can come. That's why in some social clubs, in some organizations, they require you to sign something. Okay, are you committed? Okay, show us your devotion. Come, attend, be involved. And then that leads them to the breaking of bread. Now, in the early church, the breaking of bread has two purposes. One is the sharing, because people are poor. Remember, this is the first century. They were under Roman rule. And these are believers who were Jews, and now they are now embracing Jesus as the leader. So they have been a persecuted people. They lost their jobs. They lost their possessions. They come now together to meet each other's needs by sharing a meal. But that meal has special significance because it has now come to be known as the Lord's table, the Lord's supper, or communion. So in the breaking of bread has that significance of celebrating the victory of Jesus over death. We become a community. In a while, we will take bread. Actually, we call that communion. It's a partnership. Fellowship. That's the word, koinonia. Fellowship means participation. The Apostle Paul said this in Philippians. Okay, when I participate, I have communion with the suffering of Jesus Christ. So communion, it's more than once a month. It actually means that there is a participation in the life of the body of Christ. That's what fellowship is. It's not just that gathering and having fun and have a few prayers and Bible study, but it is something that is deeper, grounded in Christ and prayer. Of course, that is very important. We try to have prayer in every situation. So in the grand scheme of things, some of you have been asking, you said, Pastor, what's happening? How come we have so many different activities now? Well, let me just draw you a big picture. Sunday morning is a great gathering. But if we can have fellowship groups that meet the needs of a community or a particular affinity group, okay? As a matter of fact, yesterday we had a planning meeting with three, four people. Let me just ask you, if you were in that planning meeting yesterday, could you stand up? One, two, three, four, okay, five, okay. All right. What did we plan? What's it going to be called? Okay, Young Professional Fellowship, YPF. Jessica, when are we meeting? March 14th. See, March Madness here going on here, okay? Doing things in March. Now, this is Young Professional Fellowship for those from 20 to 30 year old, involving those who graduated or in the workforce, including our college students. We've lost our college students. Once they go to college, we've lost touch with them. What if the church is a place you come home to? You know, whether it's break, whether it's on a weekend you come home to see your parents, there's a place for you. Okay? And so that's a new fellowship group that's going to start. And out of this, there will be small groups. We have a small group that's just started. You're part of that small group. Will you stand? That small group. Okay. There you go. Yeah, we have three couples, four couples who are involved in the small group. Okay, and then there are those who are in the Salt and Light small group too. And about 5 to 9 people get together. It's a wonderful thing. Be part of that because it will help you to grow. So when we come together, we try to have the time of getting to know one another. We try to have a time where the Word of God is shared. And go to the next slide. 5 things that we can help each other with. When we gather to pray, it's not asking God for things. It is worshiping God in the quietness of our heart. The email I got from China this morning from the pastor where we were involved with, and they have closed our church, so the pastor sent out an email. And it's interesting how they code. They code everything, okay? They just said, well, today we have a new way of worshiping God using quietness. Be still and know I am God. So that's the whole thing. How can I be still and know that I am God? Now, when we gather to worship, the focus is on Christ. Then there's fellowship, devoted to each other, praying for each other. We share meals. You know, we do potluck. You know, it's a wonderful thing. You know, when people cook or buy a meal in preparation that it can be shared with others. Service, shared possessions, giving generously. To grow in biblical teaching, understanding of Scripture, and with evangelism. So, 5 things that are involved when we gather as a community. And Christ would help us to grow. Go to the next slide. And so, if you look at verse 44 and to 45, all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belonging and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. That's pretty cool. If I know you have needs, I will share. If I have to sell something, I will share. Oftentimes I have people who want to go on missions. I don't have any extra money to give. So I look at what I have. I collect stamps. So I would sell my stamps, give to them. I have people who have special needs, and I look at my home, I said, I have things I can sell on eBay. So I sell something on eBay, I can give. Now that's very little compared to first century believers. Okay, you saw what Barnabas did. He had plotted land, he sold it and gave it to the poor and laid it at the apostles' feet. So that sharing of needs, here's the thing. If nobody knows your need, nobody can meet that need. Are you willing to share your need? So this is, we're learning and growing together. How to be transparent. How to be genuine. That I'm not afraid to share with you my need. There's no perfect believers. Being a Christian doesn't spare you from trials or sickness. And as we face all of this, a community can come together and encourage one another. That's why the Apostle Paul, I assume he's the one who wrote Hebrews, do not forsake the regular meeting. Come together and stir each other, encourage one another. So the next slide is a question. You have to ask yourself, where do I belong? Do I attend or do I belong? Big question. And it's your choice. Today, as you walk out from this door, will you greet somebody that you never met before? Will you say, you know, I really want to make a commitment to this church? Or for our guests who are coming, go home and make a commitment with your church. We're not saying that when you come here, you're tied down to this church. But that when you come here, you hear and you also go home encouraged. And go home and encourage those in your fellowship, in your church. So where do you belong? I hope you, if you attend here regularly, that you would find a place that you will belong. Well, how do we do this? In a big group, going to a small group. I really believe in structure, form versus function. We always ask this. Well, you cannot function well if your form is not good. If your foundation is cracked, it's not good. That's why we go through, make changes. As we look to God, how are you moving us? What type of structure do we need? You can go to somebody's house. It can be a 5-bedroom, 3-car garage, big house, but it's never really used functionally for God or for others. You just come home and just enjoy that yourself. But if you can have a strong form, it will be helpful. I really believe that the way that we can function well is in fellowship and in small groups. So here's what happens. Go to the next slide. We start well in our small group, because in the small group, what will you find? Go to the next one. It says you will come to knowing and being known. Wow. What is that in Cheers? It's an old TV sitcom, right? Yeah, some of the older ones are acknowledging, the younger ones don't know what I'm talking about. But it's walking to a place where everybody knows my name. That's what we want. Everybody would know who you are, and you know who the other person is. Go to the next one. You are love and being loved. Loving. That's where it is. It's when you love, you give. Go to the next one. Serving and being served. We're called to be servants. Servants. Then go to the next one. Celebrating. We're not just celebrating birthdays. We're celebrating victory. Why do people in Alcoholic Anonymous or a drug program have celebration? They will say, hey, 2 years now, I've been sober. Drug addict can say, 5 years now, I'm clean. I think as believers, we can share this. You know, I can tell you, my habit used to be gambling. Am I tempted to gamble? I love to take risks. Gambling is a risk for risk takers. But I tell you, I lost more money than I make money. So I celebrate. I am gambling free. Okay, so that's important. What are you struggling with? And when you come back to that group, let's celebrate the victory that Christ has brought for us. So let's go to the next slide. Okay, to belong, to believe, and to become. Go to the next point. Can you read this? Okay, what we're basically saying here, that small groups is where we provide care for one another, a community to connect with, and biblical direction that provides real life changes. To belong means that I can really allow God to work in my life and in my heart. Go to the next slide, if you will. Okay. Here we're saying, do you need some training to start a small group? I'd be more than happy to do that. You like to start a fellowship? let's do this. We're not talking about independently doing something. We're doing something within the church. And so, talk to some of the church leaders. Talk to myself. Nancy would be more than happy to work with you. Go to the next slide. So, a place to belong, a place to believe, and a place to become. I hope that you find this here in what we call GICF, or Gaithersburg International Christian Fellowship. Let's put this into practice as we come before the Lord to take communion. Go to the next slide. Again, this was practice. It says they were doing this daily, and they were doing this consistently. Two symbols that Christ gave. The bread that was broken, the Apostle Paul reminded them, on the night that the Lord was betrayed, he took of bread, and he took the bread, and after he gave thanks, said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat, do this in remembrance of me." And he took of the cup afterward. "This is my blood in the new covenant. Take and drink. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembrance is only significant if we have a relationship with Jesus. If you do not know Jesus yet, or you're not sure, may I ask you today to look to Jesus, the one who accepts you as you are, the one who says, "I will forgive you of your sins," the one who says, "I can make you a new being," the one who says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you at all times." Open your heart and say, "Christ Jesus, come into my heart. Take control. I surrender myself to you." That's your first step. Take of communion. So we welcome all those who have made that confession that, "Jesus, you are my Lord. Come. Be the King of my life." I will be inviting you to come up when you're ready, so there's no rush. Come up in the middle. I have two people helping with me. Ken, would you come up? And Peter? Okay. Being a new generation church, we offer gluten-free bread. Okay. So there's three things here. I will hold the bread, the regular bread, and Peter will have the gluten-free bread. And then Ken would hold the cup, so you break off a piece of the bread and you may dip into it and you can consume the elements even as we do so. Okay? I'm going to ask you to stand as we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we offer to you ourselves. Even as we receive from you your broken body and the blood shed for the forgiveness of our sins. With sincere hearts, O God, we give thanks as we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We remember you with gratefulness. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.